ago. The thyroid was removed and is being tested, I guess a biopsy of it. So he's at home. He's doing good. So remember his recovery. Bobby McClendon went to the emergency room last night in ambulance. He didn't have any energy. He was feeling real weak in body. And he tried to make it to the car, Miss Nancy said, so they could go to the emergency room. But he couldn't even make it to the car. And so they had to call the ambulance. To make a long story short, he was bleeding internally, losing a lot of blood. And he had a bleeding ulcer. And so they repaired that today, the bleeding ulcer. And then they gave him a blood transfusion. So remember Bobby tonight, Miss Nancy, they're over at Cobb. And hopefully he'll be released tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon. Of course, we're keeping them tonight for observation. Miss Connie Norton, this is Trail Norton's wife. She's been at Cobb. Been at Cobb, I guess, the whole week this week. I'm going to drop by tomorrow for a visit to see her, hopefully. But they're probably going to, they're talking about putting in a stent in her heart. And so she's having some complications. So remember, Miss Connie Norton, Trail's wife, in your prayers. Miss Cece Prestridge, she goes on April 25th, that's next Tuesday, for an echocardiogram. And then on May 12th, she goes for a nuclear or nuclear meds test, nuclear medicine test. I don't understand all of that, but make a long story short, she is getting a pacemaker. I'm not sure if I mentioned that yet or not, but Miss Cece is getting a pacemaker. She told me today she had a heart attack back in, 2019, something like that. Maybe, I don't think it was 2009, I think it was 2019. And so there's been problems ever since then. And so they may have to go beyond a pacemaker and do more work. So she's on medicine right now, and it's doing some good for her. But it's inevitable she has to have a pacemaker. So let's remember Miss Cece and then Brother Chuck as well. Of course, Miss Lanice, this is Melita's sister the ribs that she broke. Let's continue to remember her and her recovery. Brother Harold Dolph, he's doing better. He said that he just had a time last Sunday and just could not be here. Miss Catherine was sick. She's better. Spoke with or texted Tracy Reese about her and her mother, her taking care of her mother. And she's just kind of struggling with that. So I told her we would remember her in prayer. She'll love to be here. It's just a matter of finding someone to watch her mother on Sunday mornings while she comes. So let's lift her up in prayer. Miss Claudia Darby, I know that she's listening and watching. She told me she was, and I told her we'd pray for her. So we're praying for you, Miss Claudia, tonight. She has some decisions that has to be made. I believe you two are aware of that. And so I told her that we would lift her up in prayer this evening. And Brother Rusty Watkins reached out to me the other week and said that his mother has been moved to Bethel Gardens here in Powder Springs. And so, which is a blessing, because those that know Rusty's situation, having to work, and then I guess, I don't know, where was his mom at? Out in Ball Ground? Canton? Yeah. And so it was working all day and then going out there every day. Well, now she's like, we're literally right here. Y'all know where Bethel Gardens is. And so it's a matter now of going to work and seeing his mother. Chris is able to help some, Vivian as well. I told Rusty, he said there's a lot of, I don't know, waiting involved when he's there. I guess he's talking about maybe just if his mother's asleep or she doesn't feel well or maybe waiting to see her. I don't know. But I told him, I said, look, you know, I'll come up there and sit with you. I'll visit with you. I said, we all miss you here at the church, you know. And so, don't isolate. You know, we're here to embrace you during this time. So, remember Rusty and Chris and the family. Glenda is homesick tonight, and David's taking care of her. So, let's remember them. I'm sure they're watching. So, we're praying for you guys. Love and miss you. Tim Ledford, he's having surgery tomorrow. I'm not really sure what kind of surgery it is, but I do know he's having it. And I intended on going by his shop today and letting him know we're praying for him. I did Sunday, but I wanted to tell him today. But I ran out of time, didn't have his number. And let's remember Christy Teague as well, as she still has to have, at least from Sunday I was told, the stent removed by which the kidney stone was supposed to flow through. But they blasted the stone. I think the particles are going through. And after that's over, then they'll remove that. So remember Miss Christy Teague, Connie, and Larry in your prayers on her. And before I open up for the floor, this coming up Sunday is Youth Sunday in the morning and in the evening. Brother Brian and the youth will be leading things in the morning, and then Brother CJ and the youth in the evening service. Course downstairs, same time, son, same time. Okay. Yes. All right. Anybody have anything?
I got a prayer. My father's doing better.
Praise the Lord. That's what we want to hear. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, buddy. Always got time for praises. Always got time for good news. We got so much bad news in this world. We need some good news. Did you have your hand up? You sure about that? Okay, all right. You threw me off there, brother. You threw me off. I'm just kidding. You know I am. Miss Sharon.
Dawn, she got her surgery scheduled, so it's 2 weeks from today.
Okay. May 2nd. You know what I found out about surgery for some reason in Georgia? Maybe everywhere. A lot of surgeries are scheduled on Wednesday.
Why is that?
Because that's the day I study. I don't know. It's been a common thing. It doesn't matter studying or not. You know, I mean, I make time for that. But what I'm saying is, it's just on Wednesday. Thanks for sharing that. Miss Pam in the back. Yes, ma'am. Any other unspoken tonight? You just want to raise your hand? You don't want to say it? You just want to show your hand to the Lord? We'll be remembering. We'll remember every hand that was raised. I thought there had to be rhyme or reason to that on Wednesday nights. I mean, you know, Brother Larry's Wednesday night. Wednesday night, Miss Sharon just shared. I think maybe yours was on a Wednesday. I mean, just for it to happen that way seemed odd. But anyway, it's like I said, it's no problem with me. You know, I do my part. I get my studying in, but I just thought it was had to be something a little deeper to this. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, it is certainly good to be here tonight. And sure, everybody heard the news about Charles Stanley going home to be with the Lord, 90 years old. I tell you right now, as the scripture says, though he's dead, yet speaketh. His life will continue on. His sermons, I mean, I was just listening to him today.
Was he sick?
They didn't release any information.
Passed away in his sleep.
How about that? Well, anyway, greatly missed. But, you know, him and Billy Graham, I don't think these men were not perfect men, but you couldn't find anything on these two men that were pastors, preachers. You know, a lot of times, I mean, they did what they did greatly for so long, but then something happened, and you know, and it was all the news or whatever. But two great men, and they are gone now, but they're in heaven. All right. Anything else to mention today? Okay. Y'all look like y'all are ready. Let's have a time of prayer together, and then Brother Jeff, he will have a song for us. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. We'll have you take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, please. Just for a little while. And book of Hebrews, New Testament book of Hebrews, is where we're going to be this evening for just a few moments. And I want to mention something tonight. Practical. I try to always have a practical approach to the scriptures. Kyla Rowland, anybody know, remember Kyla Rowland? Singer, she's in heaven now, but I've had her over here to church before, and we were texting back and forth, scheduling her to come, and talking about preaching and teaching, and she said, Brother Justin, she said, be yourself, give it to them like you feel it on the inside. She said, there's not too many scholars sitting out there in the church pews. She said, the people, they just want to hear a word to help them through the day. And I've always been that way. Not to say that we won't venture off into some deep studies, but it's in my heart to help your heart. That's the most simplest way I can put it. And you're welcome, buddy. You're welcome. And tonight, what we have a challenge, but also a word of encouragement. And so I want to dive into that this evening. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. And in just a moment, we're going to look at a familiar verse. That is verse number 25. Verse 25. But before we get to that verse, let me begin by saying that the flow of context here, who the writer is speaking to, is the believer. Is the believer. And the flow of context, meaning if you were to start in verse 1 and read down through the end of this chapter, there'll be a main idea. And the main idea has to do in this chapter, at least starting in verse number 19, of the believer. Those who know they have trusted Jesus as their Savior, those who know that they're saved. In verse number 19, Paul uses the word brethren. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He uses the word brethren, another word for brother. And there's brethren in the church and there's sistern in the church. And so we are one big family in Jesus. And so you're my brothers and you're my sisters in Christ tonight. And so he's talking to us. And he mentions different things. Verse 19, he says, brethren. Verse number 20, he talks about this new and living way, what Jesus did for us, and how that we have this relationship with him now. Nothing standing in the way. Verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God. He mentions the house of God here. Verse 22, he says, let us, meaning us, the believers, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We're not getting into all of that. Once again, we're not. But he did say, let us. Verse 23, let us, talking about the believers, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Look at verse 24. And let us. Again, what we're going to share tonight is about us. It's about us. And it was written for believers of that day, but also to this present time of day in which we live in. This is to us. Now, we mentioned verse 24, the words let us. Verse 24, to complete that verse, it does say, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25 is our verse for tonight. And the flow of words, the conversation is continuing from verse 24 and from talking about us, let us, let us. It says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this is about us. And it's about church. You say, well, why are you preaching to us about church? We're here. Well, from time to time, it does good to talk about church. And plus, there are some watching tonight that are not here, and we're not scolding them for that. Okay, some people have legitimate reasons. Like if you had surgery on a Wednesday, you're not going to be in church on Wednesday night. All right? And so I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, the three C's about church. The three C's about church. And these are three things that has to do with church. And I want to mention these three things, and then we'll be through for the night. Number one, we see a command to go to church. Verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, are we tonight apart or are we together? We're together. That means we came together. We assembled ourselves together. And we are at Calvary Baptist Church. This is where we chose to assemble ourselves together. Now, I understand and I realize this verse doesn't have the word church in it, C-H-U-R-C-H. We can meet, as Hassan could tell you, we met Sunday morning in my Sunday school class, in my office, and had our first steps class, me, Hassan, Kristen, Ashton, and Lily. It was just a lot of things going on out here. We decided to go in there. We assembled ourselves together in there, and it was a private setting. And it, hey, had AC full blast like I like it. Everything was picture perfect. And we just had a great time together in there. And the early church, they went from house to house, didn't they? They assembled themselves together in house to house. So you literally can have church, meaning worshiping the Lord, opening the scriptures, praying to him, fellowshipping together. You can have church anywhere. There, down on the coast, East Coast, West Coast, whatever side you're looking at, you can have beach church. And that sounds pretty exciting to me right now, honestly. Have beach church, go out there with some sandals and T-shirt and khaki shorts and preach on Jesus on the beach. Yeah, surfing for Jesus. So the point is, and I know that you get the point, we're just having fun with it, that we can assemble ourselves together anywhere. I really enjoyed, when I first started preaching, going to the jail, Cobb County Jail, and going in the jail, in the cafeteria, and assembling with others. Some jail inmates were saved, some were not, but we met together. They sang Amazing Grace, I've said this before, a cappella, in a hollowed out cafeteria, entrance there, an entrance there, and I mean, it was just an amazing experience. Really felt God. We can assemble ourselves anywhere, but there's a command here, and that is to assemble, to come together. I never have understood why or how a person who says that they came to Jesus, they, you know, repented of their sin, they gave God their heart, they asked the Lord to save them, and then they just did a turnaround and about face and out the door of the church and never came back. I never have understood that. Never have probably never will not understand it. But you know, that's between them and the Lord. But typically, the idea is that a person accepts Jesus, and when a person accepts Christ in their heart, Christ comes inside to live. And if Jesus is living on the inside of me, I'm going to tend to like the things that he likes, not like the things he doesn't like. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. It just means that someone is on the inside of me. It used to be Justin in charge. It used to be Justin in control. But now Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is on the inside of me. And I love what one member of Floyd Road said years ago, Wayne Myers. He said, and he got up on a platform many times. He said, I want everybody in here to just open up, if you're a man, open up your suit coat pocket, and whisper to your heart, Jesus, do you want me to go to church on Sunday? Jesus, do you want me to go on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? He said, everybody, just look down at your heart and whisper, do you want me to go? And it was just a very simple illustration, but it was so just pure and honest. And really, Jesus, do you want me to go to church? Well, yes, he does. Whether it's in under a steeple, whether it's on the beach, whether it's in an office setting, wherever there are other believers at, Jesus wants us, and we should want to come together. Now, I want us to look at a few words here. Notice the word forsaking. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking. That word forsaking, it means to leave behind. It means to totally abandon. It means to desert. It means to leave. So let's read it this way. He says, not leaving behind the assembling of ourselves together. Not totally abandoning the time where we come together and we assemble. Not deserting the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so he goes on and he says, as I just said, as the manner of some is. He says, there are some that are leaving behind the fellowship. There are some who are totally abandoning, we could say, church. We're the church, and we're inside the physical church. And so while we're here, there are some who are leaving behind this fellowship. Whether it's our church, whether it's another church, it's happening worldwide. People, they come, they go. And so there's this command to not do that unless God is leading to another church or to another ministry. But just to stop coming or deserting the times we come together to learn about God and to pray for one another and to worship Him, he says that we ought not to do that. Now, tonight, the message, the lesson, is not a Jesus shaking his finger at us and says, you have to go to church, don't you miss church, like an old grandpa or something. You know, it's not like that at all. Because there's so much to be gained while we're here. It's coming to that sister or that brother that you have confidence in and saying, hey, can I share something with you? I have a heavy load to share. There's nobody out there in the world that will share or listen or slow down long enough to hear what I have to say. And I want to say tonight, you can find that in God's church. You can find, we are all called to be burden carriers, to help one another. Bear ye, the Bible says, one another's burdens. And so that's what we're called to do. You'll find that in church. And so tonight, there's the word forsaken. It means to desert or to leave. Now, the word assembling, it means complete collection. It means Christian meeting, gathering for worship in one place. All right, that's what assembling means. So let's read those two words together. He says, not deserting the gathering for worship in one place of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So he's telling us, don't desert church. Don't desert the times where you gather for the purpose of worshiping the Lord and fellowshipping one with another. This is an assembly tonight. We have assembled ourselves together. And he is talking about this command of not leaving this behind. Again, there's so much to be gained by coming tonight. Number one, if you just come and go home, you'll feel good about the fact that you just went. Am I wrong about that? You're right. And if you stay home and there's really no good reason to stay home and church has already came and gone, you're not going to feel that good. It's just, you're just going to, there's going to be a part of you on the inside that would think, what did I miss? Did I miss anything? Did I miss anything? I used to tease the Sunday night crowd with the Facebook Live. You know, the camera faces me, and I would mention, well, we had a great service Sunday morning, and we had a pretty full house, and here we are Sunday night, and those are at home, I wish you could have went, because we got chairs out in the aisle. We are overflowing tonight. And so they're like, what did I miss? What did I miss? Man, I wish I would have been there. Just playful banter is what that is. But there's something missed when we're not here. And so he tells us, not forsaking. He's talking about us, talking to us. Don't forsake the times where you come together. Can you remember a specific time when you came in this church or another church and you were about at wit's end, but someone put their arm around your neck, someone prayed for you, and it just absolutely helped your load to be carried. I mean, it blessed your heart. It helped you. It was, you came in here heavy, but you left lighter. Can you remember a time? I know I can. Since I've been saved for 20 years, Floyd Road and other churches, this church, I can remember coming, even preaching and pastoring, coming in, bumping bottom. But we'll get around to that first song and choir, even choir practice. Eyes start to water up, feel something alive in here start beating. And then, you know, some of you express words of encouragement, didn't even know I needed them, but I did. And then get up and preach my best sermon and go home and can't wait till I come back and preach again. I'm talking about things that are found in the local assembly. And I got so many stories I can mention. I know that you have so many stories too, not just at church, but somebody came by and, you know, left you a meal. Somebody called you. You got a card in the mailbox. Something that's connected to the church you received. And when we leave church behind, or we leave the fellowship behind, our assembling of ourselves together, there is so much missed. There are people tonight that are not here, and they really don't have a good excuse. You say, Brother Justin, you ought not to judge. Well, I'm just telling you what the judge says. And there are people who have legitimate excuses, but there are others who have just backslid. They're not in church anymore. They got their eyes off Jesus. Somebody said something to them. Or they thought the pastor should be perfect or something like that. I don't know, whatever the case is, but they're out of church and they're not getting back into church, and it is not really a legitimate excuse that they have. There may be something going on in their personal life. It may be something, listen, and again, I am not judging. I am not being mean or unkind. I know that even sometimes emotional pain, things you're going through, can cause a person to get into depression and stay away because you don't want to be in the presence of people. I understand that. I've been there before too. But at the end of the day, what better place is it for an individual who's depressed to be as in the midst of God's people? I know it's hard to do that sometimes. I know it's tough, but we keep reading about these casualties and Christian casualties, even people who get into who start to develop depression and they retreat and they stop answering the phone, and many of them commit suicide. I tell you right now, that's not the will of God. It is not the will of God. And so what you have to do, you have to stop the train from coming before it comes, and make preparations and fortify yourself and come on to church even when you don't want to come to church. You get there and you stay there because you know there's help there in the house of God. All right, we see tonight that there is a command to go to church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And let me mention another thing. Not only a command to go to church, but number two, I want you to notice in this verse there's a care found at church. I've already got there and started talking about it already, but we're going to look at the specific phrase at this time. Notice what he says, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. What does that mean, to exhort? What does that mean? That word exhort, where he says exhorting one another, means to encourage. It means to strengthen. It means to console. It means to comfort. I have talked to people who have said, not this church, people that I would invite to church, they have said, I don't go to church anymore because when I go to church, it seems like everybody is mean, or there's hypocrites at church, or there's judgmental people at church. Well, let me tell that person, let me tell everybody, that ain't how church ought to be. Where you go and you get beat down. You go to church to be encouraged. Will there be times where you're challenged from God's word? Yes. But you should never be bullied, or you should never be discouraged by any member or person in a church. That is not how it's supposed to be. But we're to come to church to receive encouragement, to be consoled. It's like a spiritual hospital is what this place is. And we come, and it's where the wounded come for healing, and it's where you come to get wrapped up in God's love and for Him to help us through the people that are here, our times of trouble. And so we're to come together to encourage one another, not abandon each other by not coming. So he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. All right, that's the challenge. No, that's the command. But then he says, but exhorting one another, that's the care. So there's a care found at the church. Each person that knows Jesus as Savior is a part of His spiritual body. And if you aren't here, there is an imbalance in the body. The physical church makes up the spiritual body of Christ. And the spiritual body of Christ makes up the physical church. Each member of Christ's body, we, those that are saved, are members of His body. Some are a hand, some are a foot, but we all have a place that is tempered together within the body to be used of God. And so each member of Christ has a purpose. Each part of the physical body has a purpose. My hand is to grab things. That's water. To grab things. My feet are to take me where my mind tells me. Ears to hear, eyes to see, a head to swivel. All of these things are important. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 12 for a moment. We've been in Hebrews the whole time. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, please. Each part of the physical body has a purpose. Each member of Christ's body has a purpose. And every part, listen to this, is equally important for the overall functioning of the body. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. I'm about to do a little bit of reading, so y'all just follow me and don't doze off on me. In pray I don't doze off reading. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Paul here is talking about the body of Christ, that spiritual body, yet he's comparing it to a physical body, all right, and how each member of the body is to be used for a purpose. 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Listen to this. If the foot shall say, I've never heard of talking feet, but this is what he's getting at. If the feet could talk, he's talking about the people in the church. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So the foot is saying, I'm not the hand. Does that mean I'm not part of the body? I want to be a hand. I'm sorry, you're a foot. All right, look at verse 16. And if the ear shall say, now we have talking ears. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can the ear say that it's not part of the body because it's not the eye because my ears can't see? Huh? Wouldn't that be weird if we had eyes on the side of our head and ears in the front? That's odd. Starting to look like E.T. now. So the ear, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Yes, it's part of the body. It's just a different member. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, man, Brother Don, a walking eye. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? He says there's eyes for a purpose to see. Ears has the purpose of hearing. The nose is for smelling. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as, listen to this, it hath pleased him. All right? So God puts people in position that pleases him. The people don't choose those positions. God put my ears here and your ears there because that's where he wanted them to be. If they were here, the ears, and the eyes were here, that would probably be normal to us because that's how we would know it. We'd have to be walking like this, though, you know. And then somebody say something, can't hear, we go, what'd you say? But he put our ears here. And by the way, he gave us two and not one so that we can listen more than we speak. He gave us one mouth, two eyes, nose, hands, feet, arms, elbows, knees, toes. How important are the toes tonight? You stump your big toe. Stub your big toe. Huh? You ain't going to use that language in church. Huh? It hurts. It hurts. Everything has a part. My fingers. You get a hangnail. Your finger cracks. Your fingers get cold, get dry, and they crack. It hurts, and it doesn't just affect my finger. It affects my whole body. And when I stub my toe, it hurts my whole body. And this is what he's getting at. Verse number 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many members, are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, listen, which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Oh, I'll comment in a minute. Let me keep reading. And those members of the body which we think, listen, that we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Listen to this. All right, verse 22 and 23, talking about parts of the body that seem to be unnecessary, or the parts of the body that seem to be feeble. Verse 22. Verse 23 talks about the parts of the body that we think are less honorable. The Lord puts priority on those parts. Listen to this. Tonight, Brother Don, I cannot feel my liver. I can't feel my kidneys. But I tell you what, if something goes wrong with my liver, I can feel it. And if I get a kidney stone, I guarantee I'll feel it. But you see, I don't ever think about those parts, because they're tucked away as God tempered the body within the GI, within the stomach area. He put the liver and the gallbladder, if you still got yours, and you know, and the kidneys and all the rest of it. You don't think about those parts and how much they're needed until they start hurting. I tell you what, we have some people around here that serve in areas that we generally, you know, what we take for granted and wouldn't think about. I mean, we think about everybody, but probably take for granted would be the better word. You know, we have right now, we have light, we have audio, and you can hear me. But guess who controlled that? Brother Randy. We have our youth down below and toddlers down there, and they're being taught and they're being fed and they're playing games. And guess who did that? Well, those that are over them, you know, Brother Brian and the rest of them, Christy, they're down there tonight. And we have a good nursery rotation on Sundays that are watching the kids. And we have a janitorial staff that comes through here and cleans the church. We walk in here and we see a clean church, and we don't think about it until we see a walk in here one Sunday morning and see a piece of trash on the ground. What in the world is that doing there? You know, why is it? You know, then we start getting upset. But we don't get upset when we don't see no trash, because it's working properly. And things are functioning like they're supposed to. There's workers in the nursery. There's teachers in class, sound and audio and visual aspect of the church being done week in and week out. There's a choir director, and, you know, all the finances, okay, of the church. Those who keep the books, those who work in the office. Everybody has a part and everybody is functioning, but let one of them, I don't know, get sick. Let one of them stop coming. We're going to notice them then, won't we? Let Brother Randy, and Brother Randy will not do this. I'm shaking my finger at him. I'm looking at him. I know he'll never do this because he does what he does for the Lord, but he does what he does second to that for his church. But let Brother Randy get up and walk away and never come back. Boy, this church will suffer. You know what I'm saying? We have a trained professional back there. And Spencer and David Henderson and the rest that he's training to do all this. You know, he walks away, we're going to feel it. And so he's talking about that there are many parts of the body, and some seem to be feeble, or some seem to be those parts that, I guess I could say it this way, not out in front stage in the limelight. He says, don't get it twisted. These are the livers of the church. These are the kidneys of the church. These are the gallbladders of the church, and the GI tract and all of that of the church. And if something goes wrong with one of them, the whole body's going to feel it. And so Paul is saying, through Jesus, that every person has a part, everybody's equal, and it takes everybody working properly and at the same time in order for this thing to work. It's amazing when you wake up in the morning, and let's just say that you've had a good day, And when I say good day, I mean you were able to get the things done you needed to get done. No headaches, no massive migraines that put you out on the bed or the couch. You know, nothing. You didn't have to go to the emergency room for anything. No car accidents. You had a good day. Well, that's how it's supposed to go. It's supposed to operate like that, nice and smooth. Of course, things happen. But back to my point before, let me read these verses. We're going to bring it to a close here in just a moment. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body or problem in the body. That's why he put all these parts together, to work together. But that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. That's what we've been talking about. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, get into spiritual gifts, that the miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So what's your gift tonight? What are you good at that you could do in the church that would make it better? There's a care found at the church. There's a command to go to church. And lastly, and we'll be through, there's a caution about missing church. A caution. Verse 25, Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 25, Hebrews. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's the command. But exhorting one another. That's the care. And now here's the caution. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We actually touched on this in First Steps class this past Sunday morning about the importance of church or church membership. And just talking about what does that mean as you see the day approaching. I mean, on the surface, it seems like as you see Sunday approaching, you know, you ought to come together more, not less, which is true. But also, I believe more particularly, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord, or the coming of the Lord, is in two stages. Now listen to this, and we'll bring it to a close. Or two phases. Now, he's already came one time as a lowly lamb. Then he's coming a second time. And the first slice of that second time, there's two slices. The first slice is he's coming for the church. For the church. And then he's coming back with the church. All right? To set up permanence and to defeat the devil and all of his crew. And so I believe he's talking about, of course, the second coming, the first slice coming for the church. Because if he was talking about coming back with the church and that we need to meet more and more, that wouldn't even make sense because we'd be with him already. He's talking about, and so much the more, meet more, not less, as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord when he comes for us. It'd be a pitiful thing. And listen, I take inventory daily. It'd be a pitiful thing if something happened and I got out of church. I resigned from pastoring. I got out of coming to church just as a member. Got out in the world and my heart grew calloused and hard against God and lived life my way. It'd be a sad day if he came back and I was in that condition. I mean, I know I'm saved, But you see, the saved have to stand before God and give an account, and will be recipients of reward or loss of reward. We don't have to answer for the deeds done in our body, but we have to answer more specifically on what we did with our time, what we did with our talents. And how do you think that will go if the Lord came back? He said, Justin, he ain't going to sound like that, but come up here. And like, I mean, everything's rolled away. And I'm standing there, hey, Lord. All joking aside, he said, so what did you do with the gift I gave you? And he already knows the answer. What am I going to say? I said, well, Lord, you know I served you for the better part of my life. And he's going to say, well, why'd you quit? He already knows the answer. Well, Lord, you know that situation that it was in the back of my mind and never got worked out, never got resolved, and it just started to affect my life. I just felt like that I would be better to myself. And so I just kind of was trying to figure things out. And he would, I guess, say, well, how did that go for you? Not good. Well, tell me what happened. Well, I lost my family. Ended up homeless. And about that time, you called for the church home. And I'm standing here now. Well, there's no question, son of mine, you're going to heaven because you accepted me. You accepted the Son. But as far as reward, there's some reward, but there's also loss of reward. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if it goes like that. I have a really detailed mind. I think a lot about stuff. But if it does go like that, that would be just a devastating time. You say, what would it matter as long as you make it in heaven? Well, if you truly have met Jesus, you don't just want to make it in heaven. You have a love for Him that is deep, that you feel so undeserving of His love that you feel like that you should have, I don't know, if it was up to you, you would not accept you into heaven, but it's not up to us. So you want to do more for Him. You want to tell others about Him. And so to make a long story short, church, there is coming a day where He's coming back for His church, but then those that are not part of the church, those that have never accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be standing at another judgment. The church will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but then those who are not saved will stand before the great white throne judgment, where the Lord will say, after you give your spill, if He lets you, depart from me, I never knew you. And so with that in mind, He says, don't forsake these opportunities that you have to come together. He says, because there is great encouragement and direction from God found in moments like this. He says, Jesus is getting ready to come back, and we need to be more plugged in now at this very moment because He's coming back, because these days are evil. He says, and we need to meet more and not less. So He says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we are to come together more, not less. We need more encouragement, not less. More direction from God's Word. More times of prayer, more sharing of burdens. We need more growing, more learning, not less. Don't we agree with that? And so we're to come together more, not less. That's why it's so hard when we come around these holidays. Some of them I'm like, well, I talk to deacons. I'm like, well, what should we do? Should we, you know, I mean, it's Memorial Day. It's 4th of July. It's all these, you know, what should we do? And, you know, we do our best to honor those days. And we give the church a break from time to time. But at the end of the day, more, not less. If we can, meet more, not less. Last thing, and I'm done. One more verse. You don't have to turn there. I'll just give it to you. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So the time you got saved, the return of the Lord was near, but now it's more near. Each and every day that goes by is nearer, much nearer for the Lord's return. If he kept his promise at his birth, if he kept his promise with his resurrection, he'll keep his promise in his return, his second turn here. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for, Lord, just a good time tonight. We're able to share the truth of your word. Lord, we're able to share some life experiences, and we're able to laugh a little bit. And I thank you for our time that we had together tonight. I pray for all of these prayer requests. We mentioned this right before the song and prayer time. God, be with each and every life, every person, every situation, Lord. I don't want to leave anybody out. Just be with them. Be with us. Keep us safe as we go back to our respected homes. And Lord, we pray for Youth Sunday that you'll do something amazing, that you'll use our youth group in song. Lord, use Brother Brian in preaching, Brother CJ in preaching. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Stephen last Sunday night and Miss Krista who taught CLU. We just thank you for the body of Christ tonight by which we are edified. We love you and we thank you for who you are and for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything else to mention before we go? All right. Class dismissed.